Harper Audio presents A Father First, How My Life Became Bigger Than Basketball by Dwayne Wade. With Mim Eichler-Rivas. Read by Prentice Oniemi. Prologue. Homecoming. Friday afternoon, March 11th, 2011. At home in Miami.
What?
I'm alone in my bedroom just before dozing off to sleep when I sit bolt upright to stare at the BlackBerry in my hand. It looks like some alien object, blinking like crazy. I can't stop staring back at it and the shocking email that just came in. My heart is pounding as I inhale and exhale and try to catch my breath. I'm usually good at keeping my emotions in check, but not right now. I reread the 8 words of Jim's email. Jim Pritikin is the attorney representing me in the very painful, very public, drawn-out custody battle for my sons, 9-year-old Zaire and almost 4-year-old Zion. With no warning, no explanation, Jim's message tells me the judge has made a final decision. It's over.
What?
I repeat, still talking to myself, now even louder than before. Still trying to grasp this moment. I take another deep breath and mentally rewind the tape, replaying recent events that might offer some clue as to what this really means. No more than 10 minutes earlier, after a grueling practice, I'd headed upstairs to lie down for a quick rest. The previous night on the Heat's home court, at the buzzer, we'd won a hard-earned victory against the Los Angeles Lakers. Not only landing a playoff spot and breaking out of our 5-game losing slump, but also putting a stop to the Lakers' 8-game winning streak. But there was no time to celebrate. By Friday morning at practice, my teammates and I were back on the grind. We had work to do. With LeBron James and Chris Bosh in their first season with the team, there was enormous pressure on us to prove the Heat's naysayers wrong on the one hand, and on the other, live up to supersized expectations to win a championship. Of course, for me that pressure was nothing compared to what had been going on with the ordeal of the custody case. Most of the time, I'm a pro at blocking out all kinds of drama, sometimes to a fault. But that just was not possible when the safety and well-being of my sons was at stake, not when my ability to be there for them as their father was being threatened. You know, none of this ever made sense. When Savon and I first separated, a short time after baby Zion arrived, when Zaire was 5 years old, I just assumed we'd figure out a fair way for each of us to spend time with our sons. Was I naive? Apparently. But I was following the example set by my mother and father, Jolinda and Dwayne Wade Sr., who divorced, coincidentally, after the same number of years being married. My sister, Tregill, and I, 5 years and a few months old, respectively, were the same ages as my sons at the time of the breakup with their mom and me. As tough as our circumstances were in those years, our parents sent a clear message that even when moms and dads aren't married anymore, they can overcome their differences and make decisions together for whatever's in the best interests of the children. If you love your kids, seems to me you do everything in your power to make sure they aren't robbed of their relationships with their father or their mother. Sitting there in my bedroom, it hits me that after everything my boys have lived through over the last 3.5 years, not only the divorce proceedings, but this past year's custody dispute, everything in their lives is about to change dramatically. A mix of extreme emotions and questions bombard my thoughts. How do I explain to Zaire and Zion what these changes mean for them? How do I reassure them while they're dealing with all of these new uncertainties? Before I even begin to answer those questions, I'm taken back to the memory of something that happened to another boy, age 8.5, who 21 years earlier felt he had also been left on the doorstep of uncertainty. The year was 1990, late in the summer before his 3rd grade year at school. Not too hot anymore, but not too cold yet either. The place was the south side of Chicago, on the corner of 59th and Prairie. Not the projects, but a place hard hit by poverty and drugs, where the sound of gunfire was more or less constant, and knowing someone who died young was a reality. The boy I'm remembering is me.